Well, good evening. It's good to see everybody here, and I tell you, it was a great service this morning, but I'm expecting more to happen tonight. I'm excited about what God is doing here at Trinity Assembly of God. And just a quick update on Heather. Some of y'all were here this morning. My wife told me I didn't explain myself well enough. Whenever I got home, I said, well, why didn't you come and explain? But anyway, but we... What it is Heather, that backpack she wears, is her heart. It's a machine that keeps her heart bumping and everything, pumping, keeps the blood pumping. And I don't know the time frame of whenever the batteries go dead, but if the batteries go dead, her heart starts pumping. And that's what was so critical at that time right there. But you know, God intervened. God showed up in a mighty way, and we got a praise report out of that. And, you know, I'm sure that great things is going to come. I'm expecting from those prayers that we come down and lifted up this morning for the people that's on our prayer list. I'm expecting God to do great and mighty things there. And folks, let me tell you, as we talk to people out in the area and stuff, and I've shared this with you as your pastor, and I'll continue to share it with you. If somebody comes up to you and asks you to pray for them, stop right there and pray for them. Because I hear reports of people talking out in the community. They say, you know, so we ask people to pray and they say, okay, we'll pray. You've got that thought in your mind, did they really pray or not? But whenever you stop and pray for them and then healing takes place or something takes place, they realize, you know what, that prayer was important right there. Some of you might say, well, Pastor, I'm not outgoing as you are. Once you start praying in public, you'll find out that God will empower you and He'll give you the boldness to pray right there at that moment. So I just want to encourage you to do that. Let's stand. Let's open up. Prayer. Father, we're so thankful for tonight. We're so thankful, God, for what you did this morning. But tonight, it's a different night. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Holy Spirit, come in a mighty way and fill us. Holy Spirit, have your way in this service. And Lord, for people that's come out tonight, God, some of them it's been a task just to come tonight. But Lord, we pray, God, that whenever they leave here, they'll say it's been great to be in the house of the Lord. Father, continue to be with us. Lord, let's open our hearts to receive from you what you have for us tonight as we worship you. I ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship the Lord.
To me, oh Lord, your beauty.
I'm going to do something a little different here tonight as we were singing the second song there, Penny. If you will go back to it, I'm going to ask Pastor Mike if he will come down and get the thing of oil. Pastor Mike, if you'll come down, I'm going to ask Scott if you'll come down and get a thing of anointing oil. And I'm going to take one, but I know of three needs here. And some of you, if you're watching on live stream, as she was singing, I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in this place tonight. And if you're watching on live stream and you need a touch from Jesus, all you've got to do, if somebody's in the house, some people might say, well, Pastor, you're crazy. Just go find some oil right there in your cabinet. And anoint yourself with oil right there. And we're praying. Right now there's three people that I'm going to pray for. But then and after we get done praying for them, if you need prayer, I want you to raise your hand. But I just feel like this is what the Holy Spirit's wanting me to do as a pastor. Mike, I want you to go back to Patty back there. She's made an effort to come tonight. We're all going to pray together. Scott, I want you to go to Kathy. Some of y'all can come join around these people. And I'm going to go over here to Brother Terry because he says his daughter needs a touch from Jesus tonight. So if some of y'all would just come around, and we're going to gather around and pray for these people tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
My soul does.
Jewel, will you go get me a prayer shawl, please? Something about the name of Jesus whenever we call on Him. As we were singing that song, Jesus, Jesus. I want y'all to just reach forward or come forward, but our youngest son's girlfriend is having surgery on Thursday morning, down at Winnie Palmer. And I just felt led to, for some of us to pray over this prayer shawl, and I'm going to give it to her and just let her wrap herself up. Her name is Tia. So Thursday morning this week, just call her name out. But she's having surgery, and if you want, some of y'all just extend your hands. But we're going to pray over this. God is so good. Do it. God is so good. We're so thankful for your goodness. We're so thankful, God, that you do answer prayers. And Holy Spirit, we feel your presence in there tonight. Father, we know that you are answering prayers right now. Father, continue, Lord. Continue to let your presence be felt in this house. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you, Penny. Thank you for coming tonight. You know, and I share this with you, and I just sense God is, and I shared this morning. You're hearing me share it again. I just sense God is doing something in people's lives right now. Not only here, the people that's here in this church, but in this community. If you notice, the last few Sunday nights, I've been preaching on different things. And, you know, a few weeks ago, I preached on discouragement. And, you know, Satan knows that if he can get your mind and get you discouraged, he wins. That's just all it is to it. He wins. And it's so easy. It's so easy for us to get discouraged, even as a, you know, and whenever everything is going right. You know, as I see what's going on out there in the world right now, not even in the church world, we are living in hard times. I don't see how this world can continue to go on with what's going on right now. I never would thought that as a pastor that I would be saying this. Yes, I know Jesus is coming back, and I've shared that, but I think his return is sooner than ever before. I did two memorials Tuesday of this, two gravesides at a cemetery for a mother and a daughter. And whenever I committed the ashes to the ground, I kept looking up because I just felt like Jesus was going to come at that time right there. And I said, you know, what a rejoiceful time that would have been at that time right there, just to, you know, take us home with him. But I think right now also that, you know, Satan is trying to get the churches and get the people discouraged and just telling us, you know, that you know, God cannot do this. But as Penny finished with that song right there, God answers prayers. God still answers prayers. God is still on the throne. Some of you have been going through illnesses. Some of you have been going through sickness for years and months. Some of you have been praying for children for years and, you know, for years and years. And I want to just encourage you, don't get discouraged. Continue to pray for them. Then a few weeks after that, I preached on anger, and, you know, and I shared with you on Sunday night, some of you might have been here, but how anger can control us and anger can destroy our testimony. Sometimes we get in situations and we lash out. Yes, James talks about the tongue and taming the tongue, because that's our, you know, that's our nature. But you know what? The devil, as it gets back to, he wants to discourage us. He wants us to be angry. He wants us to be angry inside of ourselves. You know, just this morning, whenever the Spirit was moving the way it was moving, you know, some people could have got angry and said, you know, I didn't come to church for that right there. But you know what? The Holy Spirit wanted to move, and he did what he wanted to do, and we have to be ready and prepared for that. But Satan, he wants to destroy us and gets us angry. Then I preached on pride. And how pride, you know, pride can destroy people. And, you know, us as preachers, we have a lot of pride. You know, sometimes, you know, and I've shared with you many times in my life, you know, and I have learned now, if I'm going through a sickness or if I'm going through an illness, I let pride get out of the way and I let people anoint me with oil and pray for me. Because it's scriptural right there. You know, I shared with you this morning, miracles has not ceased. As long as we call out on God, he's going to still perform miracles. He's going to still do what we've asked him because he loves us. But sometimes our pride gets in our way and we don't allow him to do what he wants to do. Then last week I preached on frustration. And we all can get frustrated at different times in our life. You get out there and drive right now and tell me you don't get frustrated. Yesterday I went to see our granddaughter in the rodeo up in Lake City, and, you know, and I was doing 75 miles an hour. Yes, I was breaking the law. I was flowing with the traffic and people flying by me. You know, weaving in and out, and I'm in the middle lane there, and I'm saying, you know, people, what's going on? You know, but that's, you know, we get frustrated. People is in a hurry, and I share with people are in a hurry to go nowhere. How many of you out there on 441 see somebody pass you, and you get up to the red light, and you want to sit there on the horn and say, I'm here, you just passed me. You know, but that's what it is. It's frustration. And tonight I'm going to talk about bitterness. You know, bitterness can destroy people. I've seen bitterness destroy people. I've seen people hang on to stuff for 30 and 40 years and can't get over it. One I'm going to share with you tonight, turn with me in your Bible to the book of Jonah. Jonah was a bitter man. Jonah was bitter. Most of us, we've heard the story of Jonah. We heard of Jonah in the well. We've painted pictures of it. You know, on Halloween, we've had big whales there that you threw stuff at with the well there, and Jonah in the well. Jonah, we heard how God told Jonah to go to Nineveh to tell them to repent of their wickedness, or they would perish. But you know what? Jonah, he didn't want to go. Jonah, he didn't want to. So what did he do? Jonah got on a boat and he run entirely the different direction from what God told him. Sometimes God is telling us to do something and we run the different direction what God is telling us to do. You know, so many times God is telling you, you know, go pray for this person, or go do this here for this person, or go do that, share this act of kindness. But, you know, we run the different direction what God is telling us to do it. What happened to Jonah? We know the story. As he was running, he wound up in the belly of a whale. He spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. Could you imagine what state of mind he was in? But while he was in the belly of the whale, he did one thing. He prayed. God got his attention. I imagine if I was inside of a belly of a whale, I would pray and cry out to God too, get me out of here. I don't like all the stuff that's swimming around with me inside this whale's stomach right here. It probably didn't smell good inside that whale. But you know what? God got Jonah's attention. And what happened? You know, after he went to Nineveh, he preached to the city for 40 days. In Nineveh, he preached, "It shall be overturned." And they listened to him. They repented. And it says they put on sackcloth and ashes. And we all heard that story about how it ended and people repenting, things turned around. But tonight, I'm going to share with you something else about Jonah. And I don't know if you've ever heard about that. As I share with you in Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God, proclaimed a fast, and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least of them." But Jonah, he had bitterness in his life. Jonah had bitterness in his life. And we look over chapter 4, in verse 1 it says, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he became angry. So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Oh Lord, was it not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundantly in love and kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" Verse 3, Therefore now, O Lord, please take my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live." The Lord said, "It is right for you to be angry." So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under it in the shade till he might see what would become of the city. In verse 6, "And the Lord prepared a plant and made it come up over Jonah, that it might be shade for his head to deliver him from his misery. So Jonah was grateful for the plant. But as morning dawned the next day, God prepared a worm, and it so damaged the plant that it withered. And it happened when the sun arose that God prepared a vermish east wind, and the sun beat on Jonah's head, so he grew faint. Then he wished death for himself and said, 'It's better for me to die than live.' Then God said to Jonah, 'It's right for you to be angry about the plant.' And he said, 'It's right for me to be angry even to death.'" Verse 10, "But the Lord said, 'You had pity on the plant for which you had not labored, nor made it grow, which came up in night and perished in the night. And should I not pity Nineveh, the great city in which are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand as much livestock?'" So we see right there, this is the end of the book of Jonah. It wasn't a pretty picture. It ends with Jonah, what? After he went to Nineveh, after he preached, after people come to know the Lord, he was hanging around with bitterness. He was hanging around with hatred in his heart, wishing that he had never gone to Nineveh, wishing that they had all died. We see that right there in verse 2 there. He had the audacity to rebuke God by saying, so he prayed to the Lord and said, "Oh Lord, what was not that what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled privileged to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger, abundantly in loving kindness, one who rents from doing harm." Believe it or not, in this story right here, Jonah was telling God off. He was not happy about what he wanted God to know. As I said with you, Jonah, if you look at it, he was a bitter man. But why was he so bitter? The Bible doesn't say, but I can guess, Nineveh was not the best place to go minister at. Nineveh was a nasty place to work in. Nineveh was a warlike nation that showed no mercy to those who attacked. It says about Nineveh, if you read, that if you opposed them, they killed their survivors. And it wasn't just with a gun, but they brutally killed their survivors. Some of them they would dismember. Some of them they would do horrible things. And folks, people were frightened in the city of Nineveh. And I can imagine Jonah asking God, "God, why did you send me to Nineveh? Why did you send me to this place?" But Nineveh, he had attacked a city in Israel and had butchered the people that Jonah knew. Perhaps they had been murdered right in front of his eyes. So, he doesn't want Nineveh to repent. He wants them to die. He wanted every last one of them. He was a bitter man. As we see right here, he had let bitterness take control of him. Sometimes you can't hardly blame people whenever they allow that to happen. But now we get back to Nineveh, but I want to share with you something this evening about the dangers of bitterness. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Look careful, lest anyone fall short of the grace of God. Lest any roots of bitterness spring up, cause trouble. And by this, many become defiled. Lest there be any fornication or profane people like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. For you know that afterwards, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected. And he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." In this here, God warns us to be careful. There are sins that will rob us of God's grace in our life. In verse 16, there's an example that tells us, beware of sexual immorality. In verse 17, it warns against godliness. But God kicks off the list of perhaps the deadliest sin known to man. And that's bitterness. And folks, bitterness, it will destroy you. I say that bitterness is perhaps the deadliest sin that we've ever experienced. It's easy for us to fall into that trap. It's easy for churches to fall into bitterness. We've seen it. I've seen it as a person growing up. And I've seen people today that don't go to church because of church splits, because of bitterness, because of what's going on. You know, so many times people want to hold on to the bad things that's happened instead of looking at the good things that's happened. I remember whenever I first come back to church here and come back in 1989, and some of y'all know Trinity, we was church split off from Life Church over there. And there were people that were still holding on to that bitterness right there. They would tell me, and here I am, a baby Christian, new in the Lord. Yes, you know, I was raised up in church as a young boy, so, you know, I had some found. But here I'm a baby Christian, and people, I'd walk up on the street, and they didn't even go to Life Church no more, but they wanted to tell me how bad the people were over here. And I would sit there and I said, "Listen, my grandparents go to that church right there." "Oh, buddy." They would get quiet right there. But you know, they were still holding on to the bitterness. They were still holding on to this stuff. And yes, some of it was right, but you know, you've got to get over it. They were letting that there just destroy them and destroy their jealousy. And you know, and one thing I will share with you, 7 years ago, whenever, you know, is the The process started coming for Sherry and I to come back to Trinity Assembly of God. And I called Pastor Rick Welborn over at Life Church. And I said, Pastor Rick, is there something that I need to do if I get elected pastor at Trinity Assembly of God to bring unity back to these two churches? He said, Chuck, he says, we have got unity. And he says, I believe if God puts you there at Trinity Assembly of God, we're going to be stronger together than we ever were before. And we are seeing that right now today. But there are some people out there in town still today will tell you about the bad things and how people are bad. Bitterness, it holds on. It holds on and it destroys people's lives. That's what we see this right here in in Jonah's life. Bitterness causes people to seek revenge. Bitterness causes people to struggle instead of holding back, and they hold back instead of letting God do what He wants to do in their life. I'll share another story with you. Whenever our first ministerial, full-time ministerial position was at a church in Vero Beach, and I thought that I had had all the questions that I needed to ask in line. So I go down there, we knew God was leading us to Vero Beach, and I asked the questions, and we got hired down there, and we moved down there. And little did I know, I didn't ask some of the most important questions. And the church had just went through a church split. Well, I didn't know that till I got there. So as, a couple weeks went on, and I noticed that, in children's church, parents was dropping kids off to children's church, but they were leaving and going to another church. So one day I asked the pastor, I said, what's going on here? He said, well, this is the evangelist that come here, and we were in 17 weeks of revival, and I stopped the revival, and he went and started another church. Well, the pastor that I was working for at the time, he could not get over the hurt. And folks, I'm here to tell you, that there held him back from what God was wanting to do in his life. I sit there and saw things that happened in that church, and I'm sitting there and I'm praying, God, help him get over this bitterness. Folks, bitterness can destroy us. Bitterness is so deadly, it causes trouble, it defiles many. Bitterness, we've seen, has destroyed so many families. It's destroyed so many relationships. It's destroyed, churches. But you know what? We've got to put it behind us. We got to be on God's side. We got to let God do what He wants to do. Instead of trying to get revenge, instead of trying to, get back what we feel has been taken from us, we've got to look forward and look at what God wants to give us more than what we've ever had before. But so many times, and it's in our, it's in our nature, it's in our DNA. They need to pay for that. They need to pay for doing me wrong. It's the same thing, whenever, somebody takes something from you. They need to pay for it. And yes, they do, but you know what? We can't hold on to bitterness. Bitterness is a religious disease, that allows it to take the roots in their soul. And whenever you come in and you walk into a facilities or you walk into a church place and you sit there and say, well, I can't worship the Lord because I've been hurt so bad. But you know what? God wants to heal that hurt. God wants to take away that pain. God wants to take away that suffering. God wants you to have joy. God wants you to have His fullness. God wants you to have everything He's got planned for you. In James chapter 4, verse 11, it says, do not speak evil of one another, brethren. He who speaks evil of a brother or judges his brother speaks evil of law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you to judge another? Who are you to judge your neighbor, God asked. And that's what happens so many times. We get in this judgmental thing. We see what's going on. And I'm here to tell you tonight, and you hear me talk about this, and I really believe that we are on the verge of a big breakthrough in this community right here. And you say, well, Pastor, how can you say that? Because I am seeing people of all different walks of life and people that's been hurt, people that's went through situations that God is starting, they're starting to see something good starting to happen and they're wanting answers, and the only way that they can find answers is through Jesus Christ. But bitterness, you can hold on to it. Bitterness causes sickness. Bitterness causes, you know, disease. Bitterness causes people to do things that defile others. Bitterness, I have seen people walk away from God. I've seen people, we see right here with Nineveh and with Jonah. He didn't want the justice that God was given. Nineveh had been a wicked and evil city, and it deserved to be destroyed. Its people deserved to die. But you know what? Jonah, he wanted that, but God had different plans. God has different plans for your life tonight. There are many times whenever we're faced with the same emotions, whenever we tend to be resentful for someone who has mistreated us. But you know what? Whenever somebody mistreats you, it's hard to turn the other cheek. I know that. But I have learned with my walk with Christ, whenever somebody mistreats me, to sit there and try to be an encouragement, try to build them up, try to tell them, you know what? You know, God's got big plans for you. Their temper might come out. They might let you have a few choice words about that. But you know what? You've done the right thing. Sooner or later, they will come around. Someone describes bitterness this way. As someone who is bitter is angry and unhappy because they cannot forget nor forget bad things that happened in the past. This thought just come to me. Y'all know I like to watch Mayberry RFD, Andy Griffith. How many of y'all seen the series of the Hatfields and the McCoys on Andy Griffith? Remember the daughter was going to marry the son. And they show up in Andy's office with the guns. And Andy's sitting there and he's trying to bring peace. And, you know, telling them, why can't they get married? Well, because of this here. Well, because of this here. But neither one of them could really come up with a good excuse of why they couldn't get married. It was just something that somebody had done back in the years. So they had heard the story. So they were holding on to it. That's what happens sometimes in our life, is we hear something that somebody said or something somebody's done. So we're going to hold on to it instead of letting it go. And you know, the story, we can't let the story end the way it did in them, because you remember what Andy did was he sat there and put them back to back and told them to walk off with their guns. Whenever he counted to 10, turn around and shoot. Y'all remember that? We can't do that this day and time. But you know, it was so funny, and that thought just come to me. They didn't know why they were mad at each other. They were just mad. And that's what happens so many times, sometimes with bitterness. We don't know what started it, what caused it. Might have been something that my daddy told me or my grandma told me, but I'm going to hold on to it. Well, I'm here to tell you, folks, we can't hold on to it no more. We've got to let it go. We've got to let God do what He wants to do. There's people, sometimes, you know, as people, they hold on to it because they let it consume them. They let it just consume their mind and you know that. But I want to encourage you tonight, those of you here, those of you watching, I don't know, but you know, just get in God's Word and start reading God's Word and start listening to music. I share with y'all, Sue, if you can go look, if you're here tonight, wasn't here this morning, go look at our live stream Wednesday night. Sue did an awesome job on praise Wednesday night. It was an awesome job. And you know, and folks, whenever the bitterness starts coming over you, start praising Him. Start spending time with God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. You know, it says, we Christians should be like this. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking, but put away from you with all malice. Why not? Why should we allow ourselves to be bitter about what others has done? Because as long as we hold on to it, we're going to be angry. As long as we hold on to it, we're going to let it rob our joy. As long as we hold on to it, we're going to let it rob the grace that God has for you. And I don't know about you, but I don't want that. Bitterness and resentment proves that they don't trust God. You know, I've shared with you, and I'm not going to go into it, you know, tonight, but, you know, Sherry and I, we have been through hurtful times in our life. But we've trusted God to pull us through. And I'm going to tell you what, we are walking in the biggest joy that we've ever walked in our life right now. We are seeing God do some great things. And it's exciting to see the team that God is putting together here at Trinity Assembly God to take us far above what we ever dreamed we could do. I share with Penny and this worship team, I'm going to tell you what. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is on them. Not that it hasn't been, but they are in a new level of anointing right now. You can see it on Sunday mornings. You can see it, you know, whenever Angie leads, whenever Sandy leads. You know, there's anointing. Why? Because we want to move into a new level with the Father. We've got to put back and we've got to trust God and allow Him to do what He wants to do in our lives. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord. You know, I share with you, and sometimes we think we can fool God. And yeah, you can get away with it and everything will go good, but you know, you might get away with it on this earth, but whenever you get to heaven, you're not going to get away with it. You know, you're not going to get away with it because, you know, he still knows everything that's going on. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 17 says, Do not rejoice when your enemy fails, and do not let your heart be glad when he stumbles, lest the Lord sees it and it displeases him. And he turned away his wrath from him. Do not rejoice when your enemy fails. That's whenever, you know, I have found out whenever somebody's going through a hard time, even if they've done me wrong, it's time for me to go in there and just love on them. It's time for me to go in there and be an encouragement to them. When it comes to vengeance, keep your hands to yourself and let God do what He does best. I've learned, and I share with you as a pastor, stay out of the way, get out of the way, let God do what He does best. But there's one more reason we should avoid bitterness, and that reason is that we represent Christ. Now, Jonah didn't realize that, but he did represent Jesus too. You know, Jesus compared His own death and burial and resurrection to Jonah's time in the well. We represent Christ. Every one of us are a child of God's. You know, Matthew chapter 12, verse 40 says, For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. So Jonah's life was a prophecy of what would happen with Jesus when Jesus would die on the cross. He would spend 3 days and 3 nights in the grave. But the problem for Jonah was he stopped short of being the example he could be. Jonah could have been the example for God's forgiveness. But it says in John 4:2, So he prayed to the Lord and said, Oh Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish. For I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundantly in loving kindness, one who relents from doing this. Jonah even says he knew about God's forgiveness. He knew about God's grace. He knew that God was merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster. He knew God was merciful. Folks, we know God is merciful. He knew God was abounding in love. He knew God was forgiving Nineveh. He just didn't want God to do that. I want to tell you tonight, sometimes we allow that to hold on to us. But I want to encourage you tonight, if you've got something that's holding on to you, if you've got something that's holding you back from what God, release it. Turn it over to God. Turn it over to Him. As I shared with you earlier, Penny, if you want to come to the piano again, please. As I shared with you, you know, our walk with Christ is not only here in this church, but our walk with Christ is outside in this world. As I joked with you earlier about driving and getting frustrated, we've got to still be a Christian example. We've got to show who God is out there. Whenever you pull up to the gas pump or something and somebody pulls in front of you, you've got to let your love for Christ show right there. Bitterness and anger. Jonah could not get over it. Bitterness and anger, he held on to it.
even after he had been with the people of Nineveh. But tonight, God's sitting here and saying, I want to release you of it. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Somebody might be here tonight saying, Pastor, I've been holding on to things. Pastor, tonight, I see how it destroyed, how Jonah held on to it. But tonight, I want the goodness of God. Tonight, I want the joy. Tonight, I want the fullness that he has for me. I'm not going to ask you to raise hands. I'm just going to pray with you right now. If that's you, you just tell him tonight. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. Father, we're so thankful, Lord. Father, for the price you paid on that cross. Father, that we could have joy. Father, that we could have peace. Father, that we could have happiness. Father, I pray tonight, Lord. Father, as I open up tonight, if there's somebody here that's discouraged, if there's somebody here that's got anger, if there's somebody here that's just frustrated right now and just don't seem like anything's going right, but Father, they need a touch from you tonight. Father, maybe somebody here or somebody that's watching on live stream that's got bitterness, Lord. But Father, I pray tonight, God. Father, that they'll just say, Lord, remove this out of me tonight. Father, restore me back to the person I was. Father, tonight, restore. Restore my joy. Father, tonight, restore my peace. Father, restore my happiness tonight, God. Father, let me see things the way you see things. Let me see people the way you see people. Father, my prayer tonight, Lord. Father, if I have any of this in me tonight, Father, remove it out of me, Lord. Father, if there's any pride in me tonight, Father, I ask you to remove it, Lord. But Father, I pray tonight, God, Father, that you will use us. Father, that you will use us here. Father, to build your church. And it's not the church inside these four walls, but it's your church in this community. It's your church in the world. Father, tonight, Lord, don't let us become consumed with the negativism. Don't let us become consumed with the worldly things. But Lord, let us be consumed with more of you. More of you and less of us. Holy Spirit, my prayer tonight is to lead us, guide us, direct us, and Father, let us be a witness to people we come in contact with. Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. When we've been there,
we've got something to praise God about. God's grace. God's goodness. Don't forget, read your bulletin this week. We're going to eat a lot if you come to the events. We've got Finish Strong on Thursday, men's breakfast Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. Pastor Greg is heading that up, and come out and be blessed there. And then Sunday morning, we've got Pastor Appreciation. So a lot of things going on. Scott, will you close us in prayer?